This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
To Sacramento. ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. And we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and those guys will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. That's ESPN 1320. Whether you're on 1320 AM or 98.5 FM HD2 on the radio, we appreciate you. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you as well. If you're listening on the podcast, shout out. We appreciate you. The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. Hope the future's going well. And, of course, everybody on the free Odyssey app, thank you so much for listening. Live and local anywhere around the world on the free Odyssey app. Just search ESPN 1320, favorite that station, then we're right there. You fire up the app, you tap ESPN 1320, and then the station starts playing.
There it is.
Shout out. We were talking about the Warriors-Rockets series overall. Like, Buddy Hield was the defining moment of Game 7 for Golden State. But there's a couple of things here. We could talk about the Kings moves and stuff, and is there somebody they can go get? Does DeMar DeRozan fit with the Rockets? Because I saw that a lot on Twitter last night, and I've seen it in the chatty house today. And I don't necessarily agree with that, and we can talk about why. The Amen Thompson development throughout that series was the big picture story of that series. Because Golden State might go lose in 5 or 6 to Minnesota and be out, right? And staving off elimination, you know, Steve Kerr's never lost a first round series. Okay, that's all nice. Amen Thompson started that series like he had no idea. Like, defensively, really good. Obviously, he is a unicorn on that end, right? But offensively, just didn't have any idea. And then as you watch that series, you watch those 7 games, and you see this really young athletic player who doesn't really have a jumper and that was hindering him start to figure out where he can make his impact offensively. And then in a game 7, where you're expecting the young players to kind of wilt a little bit and to fall into the background and to defer to Fred VanVleet and to defer to Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks and the veterans, you saw Amen Thompson come out and not only put on a defensive masterclass, but also have his best offensive game of the series in a game 7. the first game seven he's ever played in the first playoffs he's ever played in. That's terrifying.
Yeah, that
that's
dude is
so scary.
He's going to be so good. And people,
he is a psychopath.
They want like a player comp, and the player comp is super simple. He just played against him. The player comp is Jimmy Butler with more upside. Like, that is exactly who that dude is. He is an absolute physical specimen. He is pushing people around. He is dunking on people. He doesn't care. Like, he is, like, this is what the playoffs are about, Kyle. And this is why the 48-win Sacramento Kings 2 seasons ago and then what happened afterwards are so frustrating. Because the first year, you're supposed to lose in Game 7 because you don't know how to play a Game 7. That's what you're supposed to lose to a better team. I mean, not even a better team. A team that has more experience than you. You're supposed to lose to that team, and then the next year you're supposed to come back stronger. That's just not what happened with the Kings. But watching a player like Amen Thompson like take these leaps and bounds, just spectacular, man. Like, everybody in the league is like, oh, well, they have their 1A. The Rockets have been searching. They have all these young players that are so talented. They just need one of them to become a 1A. And that dude just goes, I got you. And that's it.
He is so good defensively that there were points where Golden State was just walking Steph. Steph would be off the ball. And he would just walk up to midcourt. And they're like, we'll just play 4-on-4. We'd rather play 4-on-4 without Steph Curry than have Amen Thompson running around mucking stuff up. Yeah. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
That's
incredible.
Actually insane. So that was the, like I said, when trying to zoom out on that series, it was like for a while when Mike Trout, and I know this doesn't resonate the same way because Mike Trout has had injury stuff and he's fallen off the last couple of years. But when Mike Trout was really at his peak and he was in the MVP conversation or winning MVP every year, like high fastballs were just a problem. And then all of a sudden in 2014 or 2015 or whatever, he just started hitting like 700 on high fastballs.
Yeah.
And you just went, oh, he's just figuring this out and there's nothing. That's a little bit, and maybe Amen Thompson never gets there with the jumper and he falls a little bit short of whatever ceiling we're thinking about. But you mentioned Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's never had a jumper. He's got that little midi and he's crafty around the basket and he's got good touch and stuff. But nobody's ever been like, oh my God, everybody close out because Jimmy Butler's on the three-point line.
Yep.
If he develops that, like, you're looking at a Kawhi level superstar. And that is just, if you're a team like Sacramento that's going, all right, let's go. It's OKC's up there. Wemby and the Spurs, you gotta worry about. And then it's Houston. And Houston is way ahead of where the Spurs are right now. And I don't know how far off they are from Oklahoma City. It might be a ways, but I'm not totally certain that they're miles behind Oklahoma City.
No, I think they're a year behind. So I think Oklahoma City will be the best team in basketball next season as well. And then it's like, okay, what's next? Because what we saw from Oklahoma City 2 years ago, they don't make the playoffs. Last year, they make the playoffs. This year, they're just a juggernaut. Like, that's where Houston is heading. And Houston has all the picks. They have all of the crazy prospects to go out. The one difference I'm going to point out between OKC and Houston has a whole bunch of top five picks, top five players, top six players, right? So you got Asur, you got Jabari, you got Shepherd, you got Green. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Amen. You've got Green. They've got a bunch of top-end picks. The problem is those guys make... You know, like we talked about Devin Carter. Devin Carter last year, number, 13th pick, right? Makes $5 million a year, right? But a top three pick, a top four pick, they come into the league making $10, $11, $12 million a year now. Like, the salary has jumped so high for those picks. So it's going to be tough for them to keep all those players together because some of them are just astronomically high contracts to start with. And so I'm intrigued to see how they continue this build where, you know, again, the way I would compare them, if you're looking at OKC, the way that they locked Wiggins up under contract, they locked all of these like peripheral guys up on long-term deals that are affordable. There is none of that because you're already dealing with guys that are you know, in their third year making $14 million or $13 million. There's no way for them to stay stagnant at that salary or go backwards. So those players are going to start looking for other places to go. A guy like Jabari Smith, I would be very surprised if Jabari's there long-term. I'd be very surprised if Jalen Green's there long-term. Because those are, you know, again, top three picks in the draft, and their their financial, like, you know, future is much higher than what the Houston Rockets are going to want to pay going forward. But that doesn't change the fact that that team is so well built. I mean, again, we said it before the season that to me, it is the most talented roster in the NBA. And, you know, OKC's ahead of them, but pure talent wise, that's an incredibly talented team.
Yeah. And you said it, the fact that, like, if the Kings had Jabari Smith Jr., we would be talking about building around him.
Yeah.
And with the Rockets, he's the guy that they're going, all right, well, he's expendable.
He's between 8 and 10 in the
rotation.
The
one I'm interested in. Yeah. And he's awesome.
Third pick in the
really
draft.
Good player. The player I'm most interested in, particularly coming off this playoff series, and is Jalen Green.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen Green had the type of playoff series that you imagine a first-time playoff participant having at what is he, 23 years old? Yeah, just turned 23 years old. Where he has 7 points in game one, but then 38 in game two, lights it up. But then after that, 9, 8, 11, 12, 8. Shot 37% from the field and 29.5% from three. He made 13 threes in the series. 8 of them came in game two.
Mm.
And he struggled, but you see the talent, like, it's there, but okay, he struggled. He's starting to figure it out. I'm really interested to see where he lands in their kind of pecking order, because if Amen's the guy, and I think he is, I think you think he is. When we did the best players under 25 a few months ago, Kenny Caraway was like, man, Amen might be one for me.
Yeah.
And you see why, like you see it in that playoff series. I kind of wonder, and this is where the DeMar DeRozan thing for Houston hits a roadblock for me, because they very clearly need more shot creation. It was so much Fred VanVleet, and he turned into like prime Steph Curry there for three games, but it was so much of him creating, and a lot of like just Tari Eason drives or Amen Thompson drives where they're just getting into the paint and then trying to find something that happens. A lot of Şengün just catching it on a high post and just backing down and then trying to get a shot off. Just not like we would wonder a lot, like, what's the Kings offensive system? It's the Rockets. It's just, okay, who's going to ISO and try and score here?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's sustainable long term. And I think that's something they have to figure out. But if Amen is going to be your dude, if he's going to be your 1A, can that development happen while Jalen Green figures out how to be a primary scorer in the NBA? And if you're trying to figure both of those things out, A, I'm not sure if you can, but B, if you're trying to do that, if you're the Rockets, I don't know that bringing in a DeMar DeRozan, even if you're shipping off Jalen Green, I don't know if that's the right thing to do when you're trying to get Amen Thompson to ascend to this superstar caliber offensive player. That would be my hang up there if I'm Houston.
No, I totally get that. But the fact is that Jalen Green goes from $12.5 million this year to $33.3 million, 36 and 36. Like, and again, we talk about player comps.
Man, that's so much.
I think the player comps are pretty simple with him too. I mean, he looks a lot like Zach LaVine. And the highs and lows, the same. Very, very similar. Just number one, he doesn't have injury issues, but he's, you know, 8 years younger, 7 years younger. I really like Jalen Green, but the problem is when you have all of these top tier picks, let's just look at the three players that kind of either didn't play at all, had really bad series, or really didn't stand out from that team. And it's Jalen Green, who was number two overall pick. It's Jabari Smith Jr., who's the number three overall pick, and the other one is Reed Shepard. And, you know, we haven't even got to see what he does. But we're talking about another, this is a third overall pick from last year's draft. Like, this team has so much talent. And so, like, they've got this decision to make on Fred VanVleet, like $44 million like contract for next season. I wouldn't be surprised if they opted out of that deal and then gave him some sort of other deal. But they've got difficult decisions to make. But they're not to a point where, like, Reed Sheppard is going to matter to them now. Like, they're so good that Reed Sheppard has to come in and be, like, that good in order to play. And they're not going to be waiting around to see if they can bring him along slowly or anything else at this point. So, yeah, some tough decisions to make there. But, my goodness, what a group of talented players. And, like, how many players on that roster, if you were the Kings, would you just, like, raise your hand and say, oh, I'll take him? Like, so many of them. Like, if you
all
get
of them?
Tari Eason? Yeah. Şengün. Yeah, I mean, even the way Şengün played. Yeah.
I still don't understand how his body, talk about Şengün, moves the way it does physically.
He's like a noodle. It's wild.
His bones aren't.
No.
I don't get it. It's like he has, it's like his arm has 19 joints on it.
Yeah.
And they just, I don't know, man, but he's 22. Alperen Şengün, 22 years old.
Oh, that's wild.
It was the primary offensive option for the Rockets in a playoff series.
That's crazy. I want to pull one thing up before we go to break. Udoka is a mid-coach, according to King of Mactown. No. Mm. No. Nice. Udoka is not a mid-coach. Number one, he has an identity on that team, and they play hard. Number two, he's got a bunch of young players who don't know how to play basketball yet, and he's trying to bring a bunch of them along at one time, which is one of the most difficult things to ever do. And the fact that he's got this many of them to a point where they're at least NBA rotational players, that's crazy. The next step is, can he weed through those and get down to like three stars or two stars? And I think he's already got two of them raising their hand saying, yeah, we're stars.
Yep. Yeah. Şengün and Thompson is as good of a 1-2 punch as there is among young players in the NBA. Real quick, before we step aside for a moment, R. Jonesy in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 said, did I miss the buddy talk? Yeah, you sure did. We're still grappling with this.
Yeah.
We're all still trying to figure out what we saw last night because it doesn't make a lot of sense. I didn't love shooting the three with 18 seconds left.
Oh.
That wasn't my favorite thing he did.
Okay.
But also, like, I kind of get why you would want to do that because the Rockets are loud.
So, no, I get it.
I get it, but I think the decorum is bad, but it's Buddy Hield. So what are you going to do? All right. James Ham's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Warriors Rockets wasn't the only NBA playoff game yesterday. There was a shocking defeat in the East. Does it actually matter? We'll talk about all that coming up next.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Plus, is Tyrese Halliburton...
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it sure as heck is. James is over there. I'm Kyle, still from the home studio because I'm still diseased. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. So the Pacers somehow go into Cleveland and take game one from the Cleveland Cavaliers They shot 53% from the field, 53% from the beyond the arc, and 93% from the free throw line.
Mm.
They won a game where they took 15 fewer shots than the Cavs. And they pulled away late to win that game. I did not think down the stretch there, because the Cavs had the lead in the fourth quarter, I did not think the Pacers were going to be able to get stops and come back. And man, they not only got stops, but they were relentless offensively. That was an unbelievable performance from Indy.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we're all trying to figure out who the Pacers are, and like, we watched this same thing happen last season, where everyone thought their defense would, I mean, their offense would slow down in the playoffs because the game gets more physical. The fact is, it doesn't. They just keep getting better and better at what they're doing. And I mean, number one, they have one of the best coaches in the NBA, probably the best X's and O's coach in the NBA. Like, we talk about Eric Spoelstra, but again, just pure X's and O's. You know, that team is so well coached at this point, and you're watching them just continuously enforce their will on their opponent. And we didn't think it would happen.
It's crazy.
Because the Cavs are so good and we're so amazing. But at the same time, let's be honest here. Everyone knows, like, the Cavs are, they're like Indiana, they're sort of on the come up, and they just aren't quite mm-hmm. there yet where you feel like they're going to win every series. Their first round series should have, like, again, convinced us a little bit more that they were a team on the rise, mm-hmm. but I just don't, you know, again, they have to continue to show us that that's who they are. Indiana, you know, again, yeah. getting to the conference finals last year, that does so much for your confidence. And we talk about Houston. If Houston would have kept going right here, then they could compete fully with the Oklahoma City Thunder next season. They still mm-hmm. need a season to go to the second or the third round and learn what that feels like. So they're not there sure. yet, but Indiana sort of skipped a step, and they did that by going out and getting Pascal Siakam to add with yeah. the arsenal that they already had, and then they have all this internal growth, whether it's Haliburton getting better, or it's Nembhard, or, you know, like, name that young player that they have. They got a ton of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, when you have a coach that just knows, that's been through the grind, like Rick Carlisle, man, it's just really, really tough to just count them out ever.
Yeah, man. All that said, I'm not super worried if I'm a Cavs fan.
No.
Because Indiana did shoot 19 of 36 from beyond the arc. Andrew Nembhard went 5 of 6. Aaron Nesmith goes 4 of 6. Pascal Siakam 2 for 5. Benedict Mathurin 3 for 5. And then on the other side, you've got Donovan Mitchell going 1 for 11. Max Strus going 2 for 8.
Mm.
Ty Jerome went 1 for 4. Ty Jerome took 20 shots. My dog played 30 minutes and scored 21 points on 20 shots.
He's been incredible in the second half.
He's yeah. unreal.
Yeah, Ty Jerome is really come into his own. Yeah, really interesting yeah. how that's happened.
Let me ask you this, and then we can get into playoff games for tonight. Actually, you know what? Here, let's do this. Let's talk about the playoff games for tonight, and then I want to loop Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers back into the overall conversation.
Okay.
Because tonight we get Knicks Celtics, New York Boston, second round series. Real quick, let me ask you this, just yes or no. Are the Celtics still the favorite in the East?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with you. Nothing has moved me off of that.
Mm-mm.
Can anything happen in this series outside of the Celtics losing the series? Could anything happen in this series that would move you off of that? If the Knicks take them to 7?
No. I don't think so. I mean, clearly the only thing that can happen in that series that would change my mind is that the Knicks actually beat them.
Right.
And escape.
Which, man, I would be stunned.
I would be stunned too, but I do think that the route there that they're taking, that's going to be a really battle-tested team going into the Eastern Conference Finals. Whoever survives that, I mean, I'm going to guess it's going to be, I'll say Celtics in 6. I don't think it's going to be a sweep or anything else. Like, that Knicks team is just gritty, and they're built specifically to defend against the Boston Celtics. So I think that there's a chance that that series, like, it's like a really, really high level series and physical, and like there could be some fights and stuff. But at the same time, I just think the Celtics, you know, when you win a championship and you return the same team, like maybe Jrue Holiday got a year older and like on the court, you can see it. Like he's not as good as he was, you know, if they have a Porzingis injury, which is always possible if Jason Tatum rolls his ankle like he always does. Like you could worry about some issues there, but I still think that that's just an incredible team. And they've got guys that have quietly just gotten way better, like Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you bring up Peyton Pritchard, because that's the thing that jumps out in this series to me, is the Celtics are just so much deeper.
Oh yeah.
They can throw so many more things at the Knicks than the Knicks can throw at the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And this feels like a massive moment for Jalen Brunson, because he's in that superstar conversation, right? Like he's obviously an unbelievable player, MVP candidate, definite all-star, definite all-NBA guy. He played exactly 65 games. But he's also 28. He turns 29 next year. He's never been, if I have this right, he has never been past the, oh no, I'm sorry, he got to the conference finals once when he was with Dallas. Okay. That's right, in 2022. So he's been to the conference finals once, hasn't been past the second round with the Knicks. This feels like a really huge moment for him, in that if they win this series, it's going to be because of him. And he ascends to that different level where he is now in that conversation with the best players in the league. He slayed the giant with the Boston Celtics. But I think the problem he runs into, and one of the reasons that he falls into the like Jimmy Butler category of star, where I know they're awesome, and if I'm listing the best 20 players in the league, they're going to go on that list, but they're not one of the first 5 or 10 names I think of. And I know that's anecdotal, but
yeah,
the issue I foresee for him is that the Celtics are just really well equipped to guard him. They have so many bigger, longer defenders who I think could just bother him. And if he goes out in the second round again and they lose this series in five games and he's just not super effective, you start to wonder if, like, okay, he's kind of capped out and the Knicks have gone as far as they're ever going to go with him as their number one guy.
No, I get that. I think the other thing too is, you're really going to need OG, or you're going to need Mikal Bridges to be like a 20 point per game consistent scorer, because that will just take a little bit of pressure and make you take one of those guys that you're using to defend Jalen Brunson and move them around. Right. And so I think, you know, Cat is going to get his numbers no matter what. Hart's going to do his thing, but those other two guys, they're inconsistent. And they need to find ways to be like super, super impactful. And if they can do that, it shifts the entire series. I don't particularly love, I think the league has kind of like figured out Jalen Brunson a little bit. They just know that he's going to ram into you again and again and again. And you're like, okay, well, all I have to do is play defense with my chest and I'm okay. Just don't reach in. And I think Boston, not only can they do that, but they can also put a bigger player on him. And he's so tough. Like, I remember Davion Mitchell said the most difficult player in the league. And, like, look, whatever you think about Davion is one of the best defensive guards in the league. He said the most difficult player to defend in the league is Jalen Brunson. He says he's crafty.
Oh, he's just a nightmare.
He's so strong, and he just creates a little tiny bit of space, and he always gets to his spot on the floor. And you've got to figure out a way to get him away from his spots on the floor, because he just, like, burns a hole in those spots on the floor.
And it doesn't make sense, because he's 6 feet tall and his spots on the floor are like 10 feet from the basket.
Yeah.
Like, how does he do that? Just put somebody tall there. Put a hand up. Like, what are we doing? And he just gets his shot up. And that's where, like I said, I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Jalen Brunson. He's incredible. And like I said, if I'm making a list of the 20 best players in the league, he's absolutely on it. But I don't know if he's one of the first 10 names I write down, because, like, is there a limit on how far you're going to go with him as your top guy?
Yeah.
Maybe like you could look at that Detroit series. He was incredible. Hit the game winning shot in the series. That game winning three, had the sick ass move on Asar Thompson in that series. 34, 37, 30, 32, 16, 40 with the series clinching shot. Objectively incredible, but can he help the Knicks get past Boston? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And if you're struggling in this series, like I said, I have long-term concerns about where he lands in the 1A conversation.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Boston, I'm going to use, not only am I going to, you know, try to slow him down with Drew and stuff like that. I don't know how much Drew's going to play, but I'm going to also make Jalen Brunson work his butt off on the offensive end, which means a ton of Peyton Pritchard. Like, just go at him with Peyton Pritchard, because he just can't hold up defensively, and then make some of those other great defenders that they have switch and start defending other positions. And again, I think that's the danger with playing the Celtics. You're always going to be chasing your tail. They're just so incredibly deep. They've got so much talent at every position. And it's not just like, oh, they've got good talent at every position. It's like, no, they have like all NBA or all-star level talent at like five positions. Like, they're so good. Yeah.
They're ridiculous. Such a good team. I don't expect the Knicks to win that series. You had an interesting thought on Nuggets Thunder, and I would like you to share that thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, to be honest, and not to be disrespectful to Minnesota or the Golden State Warriors, but this sure does feel like the Western Conference Championship. And, you know, we've seen this before where two teams get there and you're like, hey, these are the best two teams. Like, I don't think, like, at this point, we've seen enough of even, you know, like, we thought that the Nuggets would crumble after they fired Michael Malone with three games left in the season. I could not have been more impressed with a person stepping up and doing a press conference and with David Adelman. I thought that was one of the most stunning, humble, jarring, like, wow, this dude gets it moments that I've seen. As I've covered the NBA for 15 years, like, I have a lot more confidence in them now than I did, you know, like, after they made the move. But it's because he just has control of the room, and then his team is still really good. And if they can stay healthy and Jamal Murray can do playoff Jamal, they're just going to be really tough to beat. And, you know, Oklahoma City is the deepest team in the league. But they also, they have this problem that, you know, defending Jokic is different, and it's going to take everybody. And Jokic is probably still the one player in the league that makes everyone around him better. And I mean, it's just like, it's jarring how good he is, and you get caught up in it. But I would not be surprised if this is like, whoever wins this series is going to represent the West and is going to go toe to toe with, whether it's Boston or, well, probably Boston, but Boston, Knicks, you know, Indiana or Cleveland.
My only real pushback on this is, just to be clear on, I'm going to leave Golden State out of the conversation here for a second, because I'm not sure they can beat Minnesota 4 out of 7 times. And even if they do, that series is every other day until there's like a 3-day break between games 5 and 6. So they might, if Golden State beats Minnesota, I think they're going to wear themselves down to a point. They're not going to be able to beat Denver or Oklahoma City 4 out of 7 times. So I'm going to leave them out of the conversation for a second. If Minnesota makes it to the conference finals, I push back on your statement, because I think Minnesota could beat Oklahoma City or Denver. Keep in mind, they beat Denver in the playoffs last year. They won a game 7 in Denver, came back from what, 20 down in that game, and then swept Denver this year in 4 games. So I'm not ruling out Minnesota, especially given how well they've played down the stretch, how well they played in that first round series against the Lakers. I don't think there's any reason to believe that Minnesota can't get by Golden State and then really give Denver or Oklahoma City a run in the conference finals, especially since they've been there now. Julius Randle has figured out how to be an impactful player. They've figured out how to keep Rudy Gobert on the floor. Anthony Edwards is one of the top 1As left in the playoffs. I'm not ruling out Minnesota. That's my only real pushback on Denver and OKC being the real Western Conference Finals, because I think Minnesota could legitimately represent the West.
Okay. Yeah, like my point of view, I don't think anyone is beating OKC, but if there is a team that could beat OKC, it's going to be Denver. Because I don't think that Minnesota can hang in a seven-game series against OKC. That's just me.
How come?
Because
what's different between outside of Nikola Jokic? What's the difference between Denver and Minnesota being able to push OKC?
I think Denver's won a chip, right? So they have that experience of how to get over the hump. And I think Anthony Edwards in his career will figure that out. I still think that, you know, the Gobert thing is tough. If you look at, the way that OKC has multiple 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" defenders to throw at Anthony Edwards, I think that's going to be tough. I just don't think that offensively, like Rudy Gobert is not consistent offensively, and Jokic is, and I think that the Oklahoma City can hold up against Gobert in the post. I just don't know if that they can hold up against. We're gonna have to see how they hold up against Denver. Yeah, I don't know.
It's gonna be a fun series.
I think Minnesota has to prove it to me. Maybe that's what it is.
Okay.
I don't want to say they're the young Clippers, but
no, I'm not there with them yet, because they're still on that ascension, right? Like they haven't reached a point, like they just weren't good enough to beat Dallas last year.
Yeah.
I don't think there was like a choking factor. Maybe I've been bought in on Minnesota since Julius Randle came back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And just started playing a different brand of basketball that's really impactful for them. And he's creating in ways that Karl Anthony Towns couldn't. Naz Reid is obviously awesome. Dante DiVincenzo, I think, is a really, really nice player for them to have in a series like this, or a series against like Oklahoma City, where he can take some of that shot making work off the shoulders of Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards and Nikhil Alexander Walker. I still am not betting against Oklahoma City. To be totally clear, I still think they're coming out of the West.
Yeah.
But I think a OKC Minnesota series would be a ton of fun, because I think Minnesota represents some really unique problems with their size and their playmaking with Julius Randle and Naz Reid.
Okay.
That Oklahoma City would have to deal with. But like I said, I'm with you in that I'm not picking anybody besides Oklahoma City.
Okay.
So anyways. All right, we got the handoff. Jeez, quick show. All right, we got the handoff coming up next. We'll push the superstar conversation into tomorrow, or maybe we'll have it on the handoff. I don't know. James Sam's there. I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil behind the glass. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. It's the Insiders from 10 a.m. to noon right here, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Trying to figure out how many teams in the NBA, how many players are older than me. It's more than I thought. I turned 35 in August. I turned 35 in 3 months.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm really at the age where I've been at the age where I'm not a young person anymore for a while. But now I'm really getting to the age where, like, when an athlete is my age, it's like, ooh, like, oh, he's like, out of here.
It happens.
And that's been
Kyle.
A tough thing for me to grapple with.
Yeah. It happens. Like, really you'll get thing. To a point where there's no one in the league that's your age, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I know. And then you're older than all the coaches, and.
Yep.
I know. I'm just not ready for it. I'm just gearing up for it, and I'm not ready. I think I'm ready. But I'm not.
I did not fire up the other computer, so Kenny Caraway is getting set up. He'll be here in just 1 minute.
James Hamm is there. Kenny Caraway is here. He'll be checking in for the handoff momentarily. Joe Brazil Behind the Glass. Again, this is the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, talking a ton of hoop with you today. And we're going to be talking a ton of hoop with Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC, of course, coming up at noon. Kenny, hello. How are you?
My main man, Kyle Mattson. How you doing? My main man, James Hamm. What's going on, guys?
Oh, man.
Tired. Vibes are up. We're chilling. If I had told you that Golden State was going to beat the Houston Rockets in seven games, I don't think that would have shocked anybody. Mm-hmm. If I told you that Buddy Hield carried them over the finish line, you would have said what?
I'm sick of these guys. I'm so sick of the Warriors. I am so sick and tired of these guys. I want them to go away. Nothing's really going to happen until Steph is gone. So I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs, waiting for him to retire.
I'm just waiting.
Can I tell you? I'm sick of them.
A thing that happened in this series that has never happened before is because Steph is 37 now, and because Amen Thompson is a T-1000, it's the first time I've ever watched Golden State and been like, oh, Steph's not going to get a shot off against this guy. Mm. Like, we're in game seven and they've not figured it out. Like, they're just not, he's not, Amen Thompson is too good of a defender for Steph.
Yeah.
It's the first time that's ever happened. And that was a jarring thing to watch. And then Buddy Hield made nine threes in a game seven. And that was the most jarring thing to watch.
This guy, God. Oh my, the amount of times I just fell back in my chair in disgust. Well, nine times. I'll tell you, I did it nine times last night. The hell is this? I was disgusted by that performance.
I think it's funny too. Like the problem that Houston had was that Amen got slowed down by the injury. And like when he was sitting there out of the game and you're watching Steph kind of start to get things going, it's just like, if I don't know if that would have happened if he could have just played the whole 48. Yeah. And I expect, like, in a game seven, a player like that's going to play 44 to 48 minutes. Like, even with the energy and the physicality that he plays with, I don't care. He's so good that you can't take him off the court, especially when he's doing what he's doing to Steph. And so, like, I think that was a big, big moment for them where he just could not, he couldn't go for, like, the whole game.
You know, another thing with the Houston aspect of it, and this is probably a little unfair because these guys are so young and you don't want to label guys a certain way already, but I came away from that saying, like, man, they need to go out there and do what they need to do to get them a true franchise player. Jalen Green, I'm not sure what happened there. You know, some of that is on him. Some of that, I think, is on Ime with how he did not instill confidence in him a couple times throughout the series. But still, at the end of the day, Jalen Green is his own person. He's his man. He's got control of what's going on, and he's got to figure that out. He was too anemic in those other games outside of game two. So that's an issue. And then Sengun, who I think is a really good player, really talented ball player. I came away from that saying you can build around. He needs to be on the team, but to be, it's almost like Domas. Like, he's not. You got to go get somebody better than him. He's a good ball player, but when you're leaning on him to bring you home in that situation, there was too many times in that series, especially in that game seven, where I was like, yeah, that's just not going to get it done. It's just not going to get it done.
Two things on this. One, I think the appeal with Sengun is like his passing, right? Like he can obviously, he's a talented scorer, but it's that distribution and stuff. It felt like there were too many times where he just got tunnel vision. Like he just went, I'm going to back down and I'm going to put up this contested turnaround little push shot. I think that happened way too much, especially in game seven. But I wonder if what the Rockets are going to run into is Amen Thompson is very clearly the guy. Do they want to risk stunting that growth to bring in Kevin Durant or somebody like that? Do you risk a year of him being the dude to try and go for it all with a 38-year-old Kevin Durant?
Well, see, I'm a big believer.
I'm interested to see how that goes.
I'm a big believer if he's that. You ain't there ain't no stunt in his growth. If he's if he's franchised, if he's a one like they think he could be, there ain't no stunt in his growth. It's just going to be somebody to add to what he can do. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't hesitate. Sengun and Jalen Green, they are young. I believe in their talent and what they have, and they've got a lot of room to grow and get better as basketball players. So you may have more than what I'm giving them credit for in this very moment left in their ability to improve as basketball players. Like I could see Sengun, you know, getting that Chris Webber 17-footer, you know, automatically after a while.
Yeah.
So maybe he could add that to his game as well. But I think Amin is that guy. But if he's that guy, and I believe I'd go get a KD. I'd go get somebody to play along with him, because if he's everything that I think he can be, I don't believe that would affect him. I think it'll just add to him, and it'll be things that he can learn from that in a positive way.
No doubt.
I think it's tough because he doesn't have a 3-point shot yet, so there's going to be limitations on some of the things he can do. But I do think that you can stifle some of his growth in the same way that I think sort of the early Julius Randle, you know, Anthony Edwards stuff kind of worked out. It just like wasn't connecting early on. So I think like adding another top tier piece is one thing. But I think it would be more to maybe replace a guy like Van Vliet's numbers. So I don't think it has to be a point guard, because I do think that there's a point where you're going to need to try Reed Shepard in that position and see if you got the guy for the future. But it's got to be a like pulling away those shots and giving them to somebody else who's better at a different position. And I think Houston's really good, but I don't believe that they have a true system at this point. And watching them offensively is really difficult. Like, it's just iso ball, one shot after one iso, like, play after another, whether it's Sengun or it's even as Van Vliet coming off screens or whatever, and then it's Thompson. They've got to instill something that looks like a cohesive offensive flow, and that's where I think Sengun's ceiling can lift you. I think if you use him the right way, as opposed to just doing ISO with him, if you get him in more pick and rolls, you get him in more the DHO game, all that stuff, I think you can really like sort of unlock him, because that looks a lot different. His drives to the basket and stuff, they look a lot different when there's a lot of motion. Yeah. And as of right now, there's not a lot of motion.
He was a little too soft.
Still getting to the basket.
He was a little too soft for me in this series. And he's a young guy. So, you know, some things will change, hopefully. But he was
Sengun.
He was a little too soft for me in the series, and I hope that's not who he is, and that's just a product of him being young. But I didn't like some of the soft play I saw from him. Two things that the Rockets have: number one, I think they got too many players. It's time to cash in this summer on like four of them, like and turn that four into one. Like they got Reed Shepard shouldn't be in a situation where he just can't play. Like
at all,
he's insane. Like that. Shouldn't you got?
Insane.
But it's the situation right now because they got too many guys. Cam Whitmore, same way. Like he just can't play. Jayshon Tate, I think he's still on the team. He just can't play.
Jabari Smith, limited. Yeah.
So they got too many guys. They need to cash in on that a lot. And then the other thing is, this may be his blind spot. I don't know if you go get an offensive coordinator or something like that, but his blind spot is on the offensive end. And for them to improve and go to another level, he's got to figure out something strategically or even in a philosophical way, because you can't look at a guy like Jalen Green. And I know people like to feel this way about, you know, players and the NBA and stuff, but you can't be like, I just can't play you if you're not going to play defense at the level I want you to. Like that's not going to be a championship formula. You're going to win games. You're going to be successful. But in these playoff times, you need your scorers to be your scorers. And if you're like, nah, I'm not going to go with him, I'm going to go with Terry Eason, and that's okay that Jalen Green only had 5 points because he don't play defense to the level I want him to, I think there's a ceiling on how much you can win, because you need those bucket getters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Jalen Green is terrifying. Every time he had the ball, it's like, hey, this shot might go in and his next nine might go in. And it just seemed like they never, like you said earlier, whether that's on him or whether that's on Ime, whatever it is, I was shocked that on a team that needs more shot creation, they have a very, very high level shot creator, and he was just a non-factor outside of game two.
Yeah.
I don't I don't understand.
And he's young. He bears responsibility in that. Like, you should be taking more than eight shots in a game and all this other stuff. But I wouldn't give up on him just yet if I was Houston, unless it's like Giannis or KD or something like that.
Sure. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
Just rehashing the weekend that was in sports, and the king of R&B, Jacquees, will be in the building for D'Lo and KC. Yeah, man. The king of R&B. It's my guy.
Can't wait. Stay locked into ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders here with you at 10 a.m. every day on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back with you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Till then, drink water. Be nice to people. See ya!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.